This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, April 9th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're live in studio here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And this is Stephanie Pina, and I am taking over the show once again. I sent Dr. Rozelle back to school. He doesn't have to lecture anyone today, but he is back in school learning himself. And the same thing will happen later on in April as well, too. So we're always learning as practitioners, just as we're always learning information from our peers and colleagues. We have to learn from you as patients as well, too. And then that way we can actually give it back. So if you've been listening to the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live show for a while now, or you're new to it, just know this is the show that you try and apply. And we try to find natural solutions and talk about topics to get you more educated and involved with your own healthcare. We are taking live phone calls. I am in the studio, like I said, by myself. So it's going to be a fun day. Got a couple of topics to talk about, including traveling. What can you do to make your travel a little bit more holistic? And what can you do to kind of plan ahead so that you're not stuck in a situation where you're entering cold and flu season or allergy season in other parts of the country or the world and you just don't know what to do? Or what do you do when you need to find a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or someone that you can even talk to about holistic care? We're going to go into that in just a little bit. But if you have a question for me here, you can give me a call at 1-888-630-9625. Again, that's 1-888-630-9625. And if you're thinking about traveling anywhere too, you can also come and travel and see us at the new office, the Rozelle Center for Healing. We've moved now. It's been about a month. And we are now located just down the street from our other area at 8500 Executive Park Avenue, Suite 300. That's Fairfax, Virginia, 22031. It's on our website, rozellecare.com. So it's a great office where we have our free in-house lectures on Wednesday nights, our health orientation classes also on Wednesday nights. So there's something usually going on every single week. And you just give the office a call at 703-698-7117, and they will get you signed up, and you can also find out what class is going on that night. But there's not a bad seat in the house because there's TVs everywhere, and all the presenters are there to answer your questions about some of the same stuff you hear here on the radio. So let's talk about what holistic care is, because when we think about holistic medicine, a lot of different words come up. And, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about how things come together as that triad of health that includes the structural, biochemical, mental, emotional stress. And while we understand how those parts all come together, what's interesting is when patients come into the office, they forget what it's all about. And that's okay, because you've got a lot on your mind and you're basically trying to make sure that you're coming in to get your health needs assessed and addressed properly. But when we look at it from a practitioner standpoint, what we want to do is make sure we're covering all the bases and trying to figure out what the cause is. And that's where different types of holistic medicine come in. So what we do is we have to look at all those parts to figure out the cause of an issue, what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you, and essentially address that. Because if you don't address the cause, you're just putting a Band-Aid over it. And unfortunately, we all work a little differently. That's a good thing and a bad thing because it makes medicine very interesting for all practitioners in healthcare, because no one responds to every single thing. So what do we want to talk about today? Let's talk about what holistic medicine is inside a practitioner's mind. And essentially why we're seeing more and more people want holistic care or want preventative medicine that's different when they're currently getting with their conventional doctors. And what I see is a couple of different things happening. is one, we don't have that same relationship what we used to have with our medical provider, with our team, whoever we used to talk to. And when we do see multiple people, we're having different conversations with each one of them, and there's not communication between that. And when that happens, then your information gets slipped through the cracks. And that's not a good thing, because those one information to one practitioner may be interesting to another one and help provide clues onto best to how to treat you properly. When we also look at this, I also see that there's also more studies on people want preventative medicine. They want to be able to be more involved with their healthcare. They want to be able to be actively involved and understand the supplements they're taking, the medications that they're being prescribed, why things are working, why they're not working. They want to make sure that they can have someone to listen to them. The old doctor house call that used to happen a long time ago, when you used to go into somebody's house and you knew the parents, the kids, the grandparents, everybody was there. That's hard to find nowadays. And so when we do that, when we have people come into the office, we need to figure out what was going on in your childhood, also what and those traumas and injuries and bumps and bruises that affect you now. Because we know that we heal over time. The body has that innate ability to heal itself, but we need to help push it along. And that's what our job is. And I always tell patients when they come into the office and see, Dr. Rizal for a chiropractic appointment, or Sue Rizal for nutrition, or Mary Jane, or Dr. Lamp, or myself for acupuncture. It's like going to school. You know, this is where all the information gets determined and reviewed and looked at. And when you go home, you're getting sent home with homework. You have to be actively involved, and you're ultimately deciding one of the things that has to do with your health and how you're going to move forward. So in the holistic medicine mind, that structure, biochemical, mental, emotional definitely has you in the middle of the picture of it. It's got us on the outside as the supporting braces, but you're the one that's in there. And so when we come to talk later on about traveling, that has a lot to do with it, because now we're not around, and where are you going to be? If you're on a plane or a train or an automobile or on a ship, you never know where you're going to be. What's going to happen? How do you prepare best for that? So we're actually going to go to the phone right now. We're going to take a quick call. And Robert, how can we help you?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. This is going on the second month now. I woke up one morning with a back pain, upper back pain. And so it didn't affect my movement or anything like that. It was just a pain. And I went to the doctor, and he put me on some medication, muscle relaxers, and something for the inflammation, but it did not help. So I went back again, and he gave me a shot, and that helped somewhat. But the problem is, it's going down my right arm, my elbow, my two small fingers on my right hand are numb, and I have no strength in my in my wrist now. So what should I do? Just ride it out, or?
Oh, no, there's no reason to do that. One of the things, Robert, was there was nothing that triggered this about a month ago? Any falls or?
No,
accidents?
Nothing at all.
Okay. And anything in the past, like when you were growing up at all, like any trauma to the neck or any car accidents or anything like that?
None whatsoever.
Okay. So sometimes what's interesting about this, and we see a lot of people come in and they may not have that answer on what triggered it. Everything was worse since this, like in this particular situation. And what we want to do, and Robert gave a great example of how you have to pay attention to your own symptoms, because he could easily just said, oh, it's my upper back. That's it. But what he's noticing as things get worse is it's starting to affect the nerves that come from the upper back and neck down the arm. And when that happens, that means there could be something going on around the muscles, which when muscle relaxants don't work, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the issue. It can be something that's pinching the nerve itself, and that can be all the way up in the neck or in the shoulders as well. And when it starts to go all the way down the hand, and then it affects also how strong or weak those muscles are, that basically means those muscles aren't getting that nerve circulate, the either blood circulation or nerve innervation, because they don't think they need to be firing anymore. So what I would suggest, Robert, is since it's been about a month now, I would say come into the office, give our office a call, and then have that kind of taken look at, because there's a lot of different things when you start to feel it radiating down the arm more, especially when there's weakness. We need to retrain those muscles, and that's not something that any medication or shot's going to be able to do. But we need to see what's firing and what's not firing. So one of the chiropractors can definitely take a look at that. And also, we've treated it successfully also with acupuncture because we want to improve blood flow to those meridians as well, too, that go up and down the arm. So hopefully that will give you some ideas that it's definitely treatable. It's almost easier when you can have someone give you that much information. And that's what we look for. So you make a great patient, Robert, and essentially come into the office and we can see what we can do for you. That's why we look at things from more than just the perspective of just what medication will fix this and what's in that surrounding area. A lot of times you hear us talking about adrenal health. A lot of the times people talk about how the digestive tract needs to be first and foremost addressed and treated. That's absolutely true. Why is that? Because everything that goes into our stomach eventually gets into our bloodstream and goes around the body. So there's a lot that goes on there. Part of our immune system is there. Part of our nervous system, the same neurochemicals that we produce in the brain that affects mood, that affects our sleep patterns, are also produced in the digestive tract as well, too. So when the digestive tract is off and we're not eating properly and we're not exercising and we don't know how to deal with stress properly, those are all things that we have to address first in order to for some of these physical conditions to actually go away. I mean, they've definitely had studies where I think one of my favorite studies is when they say if you're 90 minutes outside in the woods walking or you can get outside, it will actually help improve mood circulation because you're moving. You're seeing something else. You're de-stressing a little bit. But that also helps to promote blood flow to other organ systems that when you're in a more relaxed state, that helps with digestion. So you're going to be able to absorb those nutrients a little bit better. You're going to be able to sleep a little better because you got more air and oxygen around. So when you're not necessarily doing that, you start to feel more cramped up. You kind of have those winter blues where we don't see the sunlight. And then all of a sudden that sunlight comes out and you're going, oh, I feel so much better. In our new office, unfortunately, I don't have any windows in the acupuncture treatment room. So when I step out and I can actually see the window again, I feel that thing. And that's only after being, you know, treating during the day. So this is definitely something that we need to take into consideration. And that's part of, you know, what part of the environment has on our health itself. You know, we talk about epigenetics. There's the genetic side of us that is in our genes, the things that are passed over. To some extent, you can change them. To some extent, we can evaluate them better now. There's certain testing on there. You can say, do I have this gene for this particular condition? Do I have this gene? Is it going to affect other things in life? Or am I not detoxing properly because I can't methylate things? I talked a lot about that on the different show, especially with Dr. Lamp. That's his favorite topic. And when we talk about that, we have to also take into consideration what does the outside environment do to us? How does our food, our living, our society, how does all that take into consideration? And we talk about the good stuff that's going in, the food that we should be eating, and the bad stuff that's also going in, all that's being broken down in the body as well, too. It has to go through the liver. It has to be metabolized. It has to be excreted. So if things aren't working properly, I've had a lot of digestive patients come in lately, and their main complaint is allergies. But really, when you sit down and look at it, it's digestive issues because they can't eliminate properly, and all that inflammation and toxic substances basically are sitting around in their stomachs. So we have to kind of break that down. So all that's part of the holistic way of looking at medicine. You know, like I said, about the structure, mental, emotional. A lot of times when people come in and they talk about the structural side of things, you know, whether that's coming to me for acupuncture, Sue for nutritional information, the chiropractors, even to Ivani, the massage therapist, we know where we feel pain. My shoulder hurts. My knee hurts. Why does my left knee hurt more than my right knee? All of that stuff is great, but we got to look at the other causes. And sometimes there's underlying emotional issues that we don't want to address. They're all part of it as well, too. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. And like I said, later on, we're going to talk about how to prepare and get ready for travel and take some more of your questions as well, too. You're listening to the Dr. Tom Rizzo Live Show. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We are live in session. This is Stephanie Pina, and I am the naturopath and acupuncturist at the Rizzo Center for Healing. And filling in for Dr. Rizzell, and we're talking about holistic health and how it affects you, what it really is, and how it's different from what you normally think about your healthcare. There's a lot of different definitions that are out there, too, that I want to go over. And, you know, holistic health meaning essentially it's the type of medicine that looks at the body as a whole And that's W-H-O-L-E, whole. Like, not just one part at a time, not one symptom at a time, not one organ system at a time, but how everything works together. And in order to treat that properly, you have to be able to identify all the different systems that are causing stuff like headaches, insomnia, mood swings, menopausal symptoms, libido issues, you name it. There's never one issue that doesn't have multiple systems involved with it. And that's why you have to look at things from outside of the box, or look at the box in a little bit different way. It's definitely increasing. And there's other definitions that people will kind of see out there when you're looking for a holistic provider. One of that is an integrative medicine. And integrative medicine usually will also involve someone who knows, or even an MD is involved in that team as well, too. So what they tend to do is, now you get the best of both worlds between what you know of conventional medicine and also what you know of different types of holistic medicines as well, too, whether that be nutrition, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathy, herbal medicine, massage therapy, everything like that can be combined. So it's very interesting to see these transitions and how people have more information than available to them, like this radio show, like the internet, that at least puts information out there to make you ask questions. So if you have a question, like I said, feel free to give us a call, 1-888-630-9625. I'm getting ready to sell a product or something there. That's not good. We'll sell holistic medicine. That's what we'll do. But one of the interesting thing too, previously in the year, we actually had, I had a group of people on here, a group of acupuncturists, to talk about one of the biggest things that came out that's really driving holistic medicine to increase its numbers, to get out there more, and for more people to seek providers. And that was the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, put out their guidelines for prescriptive opioids for chronic pain. And why is that? It's because a lot of people are getting in trouble by using just opioid medication to control pain. I mean, I can remember going to the dentist and just having a filling done or a tooth extracted, and I would get an antibiotic to help out with the healing, and then I would get an opioid medication like a Percocet and say, well, this will be for the pain, and that's a little extreme sometimes. So a lot of people are getting that. Nearly 2 million Americans abused or were dependent on prescription drugs in 2014 alone. So they started looking at all the stats and statistics. They actually called out for different practitioners to send in information about how they think they could work with the opioid crisis. And we know this also made news in the recent election. We know this made news throughout the world, really, because other countries are dealing with it too. But the number one thing that they actually went with, the number one guideline that they had is, in a way of addressing chronic pain issues, was to find non-pharmaceutical treatments. And so this is where holistic medicine plays a perfect role, because not only are you treating pain, you're treating the cause of the pain. And that's where things like, for me, acupuncture comes into play. That comes where adjusting and adjustments and manipulation come into play, because you can open up the nervous system. And even looking at nutrition to decrease inflammation, all of those things come into play. So you're seeing a lot more people kind of saying, how else can we do this without drugs and medication? So you have the CDC saying that should be the number one thing you're doing to basically help prevent this opioid crisis later. And the great thing, especially with acupuncture is and also an adjunct treatment for those that are already having addiction problems. So they've used it in a lot of clinics across the country to help address that. And in certain states, they'll actually use it as part of their DUI program. When you get pulled over for driving drunk, and essentially they know that you need to give just as much treatment as they do a harsh reality check. So they'll allow these people to basically go get acupuncture treatment as well. The CDC is doing that. Then we also see there's been surveys that's interesting that the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians have put together, and they actually interviewed over 600 seniors and asked them why they would be interested, or what interests them in naturopathic medicine, which is a combination of pretty much the things that we're talking about too, including, like I said, nutrition, nutrition, herbs, botanical medicine, conventional medicine as well too. Or another way of looking at this is how functional medicine doctors are now becoming more out there. And they're looking at the same lab reports that essentially we are looking at, but looking at from a different measurement. How does the body function at these labs and function in the world, instead of just going by and saying you're in normal ranges, looking at lab report a little differently. But the AANP basically said that a lot of people are looking for people to help them with self-care, education, and they are also looking for essentially more time with their doctors, and that's definitely what holistic providers are going to give. We're going to take our midsection break, and then we come back. Traveling. What can you do to travel properly and keep things at peace of mind and keep yourself nice and healthy? We'll be back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Again, it is a beautiful day out there today, and I am in the studio by myself hanging out here for Dr. Rozelle while he's in class. Maybe that's the better way because he has to learn something. But then he's going to come back next week and be able to share all that with you and with us, and that's a good thing. We're live in studio and getting ready to switch topics. So we have a potpourri of topics today, and it's going to be about traveling since Dr. Rozelle is on the road, I believe in the Midwest somewhere. We're going to talk about how to prepare for travel season, because what's interesting here is I know half of Fairfax County here in Virginia is going on spring break. The other half of them go next week, and that can be tough to travel with a family and not know how to keep your schedule up and eat right and have fun and relax all at the same time. So we're going to talk a couple of tips about traveling and essentially how do we prepare? Because that's the biggest point. If there's anything to take away from that, is you got to think about your trip ahead of time. The same thing if you're making any kind of dietary changes and stuff. If you think, I'm going to do this tomorrow and then not go out and shop properly for it, you're going to gravitate towards the same foods that you had before. So when we think about traveling, what's interesting is we know that we're going to have issues with not finding the foods that we're normally eating. We probably don't have much control over the timetables of the day. When is our flight? How long am I going to drive for? Where's the next stop? Even temperature. I mean, if you were around here in the last couple of weeks, it's 75, almost 80 today, and then we had hailstones and it was 40 a couple days ago. So that's very tough to think about. So how does the body adjust to that? Because we've seen in the office this year during cold and flu and allergy season, people have lingering symptoms because essentially they can't adjust properly to the outside temperature. So how do you do that? How do you do that on the road when you're not in your comfort of your own home or you're in a hotel room or something? Well, preparing is one of the things. So we're just going to go through a list of different things and take it from there. One, when you're on the road, number one thing too is stay hydrated. Biggest thing that people think of is they're just going to drink when they feel like they're thirsty, and you really should be hydrating the whole time. And if that means that you have to plan when you have to stop and go over and use the restroom, then that's what you're going to have to do, because your body is still processing everything and it's still metabolizing everything as you're traveling, whether it's sitting in a plane or, like I said, in a car seat or something. You still need that water to be flushing through, the same thing as if we're talking about drinking either 8 glasses of water or half your body weight in ounces per day. So you still should be keeping up with that, if not a little bit more, because you know when you sit on an airplane and it's that same air recirculating, it's drying you out as you go. And then everything else that's in there too is getting in. So that's a good flushing mechanism. It's helping to detox the body. And also too, since the diet's going to be off a little bit, that's going to help flush out some of the maybe not so perfect foods that you have to encounter as well too. So we talk about food. When we think about this, it's hard to prepare because a lot of times you can't bring your food with you, right? You can't even get it through like TSA screening now, so you have to buy it at the airport. You may not be able to find your local green, healthy store along the way, although, you know, with Google Maps and Waze and all the apps out there, I'm sure you can find something and plan your trips around that as well too. But, you know, bring what snacks you can. Start at least at the beginning so that you can kind of recuperate along the way and have those snacks every now and then. So it means you're probably going to have to rest a little bit more often than pulling through and just keep driving, driving, driving. If you're flying and those snacks are in between, you know, if you get off, at least you get a little bit of stretch and a walk break in there, exercise a little bit. You know, I see more people, especially at the airport, and it sounds weird, but they're traveling with yoga mats and they're traveling with, like elastic bands and stuff, because they've got that 5 minutes to get up and stretch around and move around. I mean, those of you that flew a long time ago when we had international flights, they used to have the little videos that would come on that said, okay, get up and stretch your legs to get more blood flowing through the legs. You know, they were helping prevent blood clots, but at the same time, that movement is going to help your body basically deal with travel stress as well a little bit better. Now people just walk the airplane, or the sections of the airplane they're allowed to walk. So, So when we talk about foods and stuff, if you can't plan ahead, you know, see what's available in those local areas. Try to make the best food options that you have available to you. It doesn't mean that you have to completely go with the burger joint that's on the side of the road because that's the only thing around. But if you do, can they do it on a lettuce bun? Do they have gluten-free options? Do they have something that you can have, like a salad or something in between, but add some protein on there so it's not just, you know, you get protein to help with the muscles as well, too, to help out with strength so that your blood sugar is going to be a little bit more balanced. So a lot of times you see that happen, especially if you're traveling in time zones or you're going abroad. You just don't have that same kind of connection with the same foods that you want. And so you see something that looks familiar to you and you gravitate right towards it because it's like your happy meal, right? And so what happens is, though, that tends not to be the good stuff. And then you get back on the plane and you sit and you don't move and you don't do anything, or you get back in the car and then you drive for 4 more hours until you stop and do it all over again. So those breaks to exercise, to think about the food that you're eating, to look at the water, to plan ahead to make sure that you have something that's decent is going to do a lot for you in the long run. The other thing you got to think about, too, is when you're thinking about your day's journey, whether it's a short one or a long one, too, try to keep your eating habits as kind of similar to when you normally would try to eat. Easier said than done. So if you're, say, used to eating, you know, 8, 12, and say 5, but then you have a couple of snacks in between, see if you can do the same thing, because your body's going to adjust much easier in one part of the country or one location to the other if you can keep that the same. And also, when we talk about sunlight, if you can get out there and get as much light as possible, your body will have a little less time adjusting to the different time zones. And also the fact that when it's time to go to sleep, especially if you're going international, it may help you adjust to their time a lot quicker than having to take, say, medications and stuff to kind of put you out. So there's a lot of little things like that, too. One of my favorite travel tips, I had a patient call me once, and they were on the road, and they had actually pulled, probably because of sitting too much, they actually were getting sciatic pain going from their gluteus area down their leg, and they didn't know what to do. Obviously, they weren't going to run into an office to get treated, but they're sitting in a hotel room. They send me an email, what can I do? And, you know, I said, something that's so simple that you have in hotel rooms is usually you can find some extra towels, or ask for some extra towels, and do hot and cold applications. Do what you can. Something that's as simple, damp heat and damp cold will go deeper into the body than essentially a dry heat. So I told that person to go over, grab a towel, put it under the hot water, get it nice and hot, wring it out, put that dry, that hot towel right over where they were feeling that pain, and then put another dry towel or a blanket that can kind of give a little pressure so it get closer to the skin right on top of it. And then as soon as that starts to get, you know, room temperature, switch it out and put a cold one. And the cold isn't ice. You don't grab for the ice. You grab for something that maybe at the most you put in the refrigerator for about 5 minutes. But grab a cold one, put it over the same area, and alternate back and forth. So hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Usually about 10 minutes hot and 5 minutes cold, about 2 or 3 times. That's going to get more blood circulating to that area, and it creates a pump. So if there's inflammation, that blood flow is going to be able to get rid of the inflammatory substances that are in there. It's going to also stimulate the body, because your body's going, what the heck's going on with this hot cold? I can't regulate it. And then start moving. Start to see how it feels. So simple things that you can do there. Or if I start getting a sore throat, I'll do the same thing around my throat where my lymph nodes are to help get more blood flow, say, to the head, to the neck and area. Little basic things like that. Use what you have available to you. If you've got a big master tub and wherever you are in your hotel room, do a nice hot soak, because that way you can relax the muscles that have been kind of stuck in that same position from traveling all day long. So hot and cold, really basic stuff to do. The other thing we also want to think about, too, is when you are traveling, you know, and you can't bring your food with you, see if you can find some easy snacks that also include stuff like a protein drink. You know, a lot of them will come in powder, so you can actually divide them up into little baggies, take them with you, get one of those little shaker cups, and then put the little shaker cup in, or put the protein in there, add some fluid, could be water, could be almond milk. I have a good friend in Texas who showed me, and she has 2 young children. She showed me what she does is she usually will go over and get an almond milk little like sippy pack, stick the straw in there, open it up, and then dump that in her protein drink, because that you can get on the road pretty easily and they're meant for traveling. And then she'll make herself a protein drink. And so that's one of the main things. If you have powders and as part of your supplements, so then you can put it in your protein drink if it works. Also, we can put in your baggie is your supplements. So it's easier than carrying all the bottles, because just because you're going on a vacation doesn't necessarily mean you should go on a supplement medication vacation as well. See which ones are important to you. Talk to your practitioner ahead of time to see, you know, if I had to take this, which one is going to work for me when I'm on the road. If there's a change in medication, you want to make sure you're not doing it too close to when you're traveling, because you don't want to be stuck somewhere where you're going, is this a reaction to my medication? Did I increase something? I don't know what's going on. How can I get a hold of my doctor? The other interesting thing is I was actually on a flight once where there was an emergency call because someone forgot when they took their medication, so they doubled up on their medication, which happens probably more frequently than you think, because you're running out of the door at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and you took your medication, your supplements then, and then you're at the airport 5 hours later going, did I take it? I can't remember. Or what time zone am I in? And so this gentleman took too much medication, and luckily he just kind of felt a little nauseous to his stomach while he was on the flight. And so I was able to help him kind of calm down. We gave him some oxygen and everything was better. But, you know, set timers. We have enough devices with us that we can set timers and click off those timers when you know that you've taken things, so that especially if you're changing different time zones, you know that you're still being consistent at the same time. Little things like that can actually help a lot with your travel. So it is that preparing ahead. The other thing that you can think of too is with your sleep, you want to try to make sure you're getting the same amount of sleep that you were at least getting at home. But, you know, those uncomfortable beds, the pillows that aren't right, you know, give yourself time to basically get into a sleep ritual, especially if you're going to be gone for a long time, because you know that you're going to get aches and you're going to have to get used to that bed. So nothing's going to feel good. But if you give yourself time to go through a normal ritual, perhaps even just read a book for a little bit, let your body relax, then that's going to help quite a bit more. When you're looking at what other things to kind of bring with you, one of the things can be, think about it like a little mini first aid kit, especially if you're traveling alone. Because if that's going to happen, you may not have, especially if you're out in the middle of nowhere. I know a lot of people like to travel, friends of mine to the Grand Canyon. They might be camping for a little while. So that can be an issue if you don't have anything with you. So there's a few basic things that I always tell people to go pick up, having their little mini first aid kit with them. One can be homeopathic arnica. So homeopathic arnica, they look like little sugar pills. They're real small pills. And what they do is they just go under your tongue to dissolve, and they help with different types of trauma. So that can be the emotional side of it. It can help with healing. So it's real easy to have that to take internally. And then there's a version of it called, it used to be Tramiel, now it's also called Tea Relief, that has that in a cream version. So that's great to have with you. One bottle takes forever to go through. And you can put that over bumps and bruises, cuts that are, you know, closed. And I've even had people rub that into sore muscles, and it's been able to help too. So it's not got an smell to it. It's a cream base. So something like that in your travel kit is actually a good thing. I would almost have something that's got a little bit of not sweetness to it, but something like a protein bar or something there that you just leave there that you know is still going to be good by the time you get to it if you've packed your travel kit and then forgot about it for a little while. But, you know, if you start getting hungry, you've got that in there. You've got a couple extra dollars in there and some change. You've got that in there. You can also do something simple like an aloe vera gel. And something like that can be good if you're getting sun exposure. And so you can put that over burned areas. You can use that where you have some dry skin as well, too. So sometimes you can see that in a lotion, or you can find aloe vera pretty easily nowadays. And then even a little bit of vitamin C can help in a long different ways, boost your immune system as well. If you're having trouble, I know a lot of people don't have the best bowel movements when they're traveling. If they're not hydrating already, they should be. But what you can also do is you can also use a little extra vitamin C, and that might be able to help move things as well, too. So that you can find usually in small capsules or in a little travel pack as well, too. So you can just dump that into some water. Other quick things, too, that I always think about is you got to think about that digestive system as well, right? It's going to be exposed to a lot of new taste flavors, some new, some old, whatever's on the road, whatever's in the airports. You can find probiotics that don't have to be essentially refrigerated. That's good. Or just bring the amount that you need for your travel and your trip and take those as needed. You can also go a little higher than normal during that time, because you are going to be exposed to a couple of other things. So gut health is really important. And remember, probiotics are there to help break things down. So it's not necessarily going to help out with bowel movements as well, or the digestive tract, but it's going to help with everything in the middle. So if the middle of the gut's better, you don't have to strut and strain as much about what's going on the other two ends. The other thing you can think of too is I have a lot of people that will get motion sickness. They'll travel, or things don't settle well. Sometimes they have the ginger chews. So ginger is very warming to the system. In Chinese medicine, it's used to kind of help tonify the stomach and to kind of help ease that digestive process. Some people don't particularly like that heat. You don't have to get raw ginger because that's very hot. So sometimes they do actually better with a little bit of peppermint oil. So that can also be cooling. So having something like that in your travel kit is actually a good thing too, in case you want to, you're not feeling so great and you need something to settle it. What's amazing about the travel bands that they have, the little seasickness bands that you see in the store, those bands are actually over an acupuncture point. They're over pericardium point 6, which is located about 1.5 to 2 inches from the wrist crease on the inside of your hand, on the palm side. And it's putting pressure right at that point. There's nerve stimulation, which is really strong. And in Chinese medicine, pericardium 6 goes to open the chest up. And so what happens is when you start to feel sick and nauseous, things start to close down because you don't want to get sick necessarily. So this helps get more oxygen in. It helps get more blood flow going. And that can help ease the stomach as well, too. Just like even sipping on some warm water with lemon in the morning when you get up or later on to help ease the stomach is a great thing, too. So really basic travel tips. I know they seem really dull and boring, but you have to make your trip what it is, and essentially prepare ahead. That's going to be the biggest thing. And if it's a long trip, plan on having times when once a week you sit there and kind of figure out, what am I missing from my kit? Do I have my snacks? Do I have my water? Even putting sea salt in a little plastic bag to put for your electrolytes is going to be important. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll take it from there.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're live in studio here on a beautiful sunny afternoon talking about a couple of things, holistic medicine, travel plans. And I want to remind everybody, like I said earlier, that we have our new office and we do also have a special going on too for the month of April. It is the Spring Allergy Special, where you can come in and actually get a neurotested response for 10 different chemical reactors. A consultation and examination. They'll do an acupuncture screening graph, a gait scan, and report of findings with one of our doctors. And essentially, this is a great time because what we're seeing is more and more people are getting exposed, not necessarily to the pollen allergies, but they have issues with the foods that they're eating. So when someone comes in and all of a sudden their allergies are worse, it can be because their body's kind of dealing with all the winter sludge and stuff, and they're not getting it out. So we have to, again, look at everything else other than just your runny nose and your itchy eyes. So you can actually call the office at 703-698-7117 to take advantage of our spring new patient offer for just $125. And that is going to run to, I believe, April 30th. So you've got a couple weeks on there while the pollens are in bloom and the cherry blossoms are still out to kind of help address not only your allergy symptoms, but kind of get a chance to ask any of these questions to these doctors as well, too. Other thing coming up is, of course, we also have our in-house lectures as well, too. And next week, when Dr. Rozelle returns, he's going to have Dr. Lamp on here, and we're going to talk about something that can affect a lot of chronic conditions. He's going to talk about the gluten connection, all the ins and outs of gluten issues in the gut, what it can do there, how it can affect inflammation of the body. Because that's something too, when we're traveling, we may not have those options because that might not be available in different parts of the countries the way it is, especially in here in Northern Virginia. We're going to go to the phones real quick. Robert, how can I help you?
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, this is more on the travel tips that you were talking about a little while ago, and those are really pretty helpful. But what I'm wondering about is I travel to Southeast Asia quite often, and it seems like 3 or 4 days after I get there, my gut just lets loose, and it's usually just for one day. But you don't know where it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And is there any suggestion for trying to keep that under control?
Yeah, what's interesting is, and when we definitely see people coming, you know, especially in this DC area, we have people that travel quite a bit, whether it's for work or business, to international, especially to Asia as well too. you know, sometimes that can be the body also just dealing, getting used to the newer foods, but also the fact that it's just gone through that stress of such a long flight. And like I said, the food that's on the plane is not such a good thing. So when it happens 2 or 3 days after, it can be that it's kind of trying to purge whatever's out. So you have to remember that there are normal reactions for the body. Just like if we get an E. coli infection stuff, we normally are going to purge that out. There's going to be loose stool. It's typically going to be watery, but it will start to clear itself up. So in some ways, we want the body to be able to get rid of what it's not trying or get rid of what it's trying to get rid of. So we don't want to completely hamper that. The other thing that we can do is if you prepare ahead of time and know that this happens continuously, we should be working on the digestive tract because that's your weak spot ahead of time. So knowing a month or two ahead of your travels and visits, how can we clean up the diet then? How can we get it in the best possible situation? Probiotics is always a good thing. Sometimes if it's more of a food issue too, we'll have people bring activated charcoal on with them. So if that way it can help clear things out as well too. So that's really simple. When it's actually happening there, it's very tough. But the main thing is that you want to make sure you're going to lose some of that fluid at that same time. So you want to keep that hydration up. So it's a good start. And I would start to identify what's going on a little bit beforehand, because other people will come back and say, you know, it's 2 or 3 days into my trip after I've gotten there. And all of a sudden, you know, now they're exposed to different types of foods and spices and possibly the water as well in those different areas. So when you're there, you want to make sure you're eating as cleanly as possible and also trying to, you know, balance a little bit of good stuff and give yourself a little bit of digestive support at that same time. Same thing when you're coming back as well, too. But excellent question, because you never know when it's going to happen. I'm glad the health tips are helping a little bit, and hopefully everybody will have a good travel season, whether they're traveling now or for the holidays coming up or through the summer. Give us a call. Come to the office. Let's see what we can do to get you prepared for not only travel trips, but also the spring, summer, fall, and winter. Thanks again. Dr. Rizal is going to be back next week, and we'll take it from there. Have a good and healthy weekend.